I'm here today with Boris and Chris, who together have been working on the EclipseCon UI RCP track. Chris has also been working on the other track, which I guess is talks that don't fit into a tidy categorization elsewise. Chris and Boris, how are you today?
Very well.
This is Chris. I'm doing great. Weather's beautiful and awesome.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, it's not it's actually quite beautiful, but a little chilly in Ottawa. So tell me a little bit about your track.
So the UI track used to be called UI track. Now it's UI RCP, so that we have the RCP name prominently displayed, because I think RCP is important. And we have interesting tutorials, long talks, and I think I'll talk about the tutorials first. So we have a intermediate level building Eclipse plugins tutorial, which was given, like variants of that were given at previous Eclipse cons, and it was always received good reviews. And then we have an advanced RCP tutorial. So I think that's a very nice split between the basic stuff and then the advanced RCP stuff, which talks about more complicated things like how to set up a headless build, goes into depth on P2, talks about adapter manager, virtual trees, like all that stuff that's not immediately obvious first time you read the Java doc for that.
So now what's the target audience for that tutorial?
I think the target audience for that tutorial is people who already know Java, obviously, and have some Eclipse RCP knowledge, but would like to go into depth and talk about like any of those more advanced topics that I...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that isn't extremely well documented, like theming, that I believe that will be covered in that tutorial.
I'm sorry, Chris, you said theming?
Yeah, theming the workbench, you know, the presentation API.
So that would be changing the general appearance of the user interface, so making an RCP application that doesn't look like the Eclipse workbench.
Exactly.
That's certainly a theme that you see a lot of discussion around.
Definitely, especially in the Eclipse 4.0 space.
Right. So now, tell me a little bit more about the program proper, some of the talks that are there in your track.
So if we go over to the long talks, our main stage talk is called Eclipse on Rails and Rockets. This talk is pretty cool because basically it's two case studies around how Eclipse is used. One of them is at the Swiss Railway. Basically, if you ever, you know, went through trains in Europe, you know, you're familiar with the various railways there. So the Swiss Railway in particular is using Eclipse RCP as a way to sort of administer basically all the various train routes and all that stuff. It's quite the demo that they show. They basically have this gigantic console with various trainways, and you get to see the trains going through. It's nothing like you've ever seen as an RCP application.
Yeah, scanning multiple monitors.
Yeah, it's amazing. And for the rockets part, for people that have read the RCP book are familiar that NASA has been using Eclipse for quite a while. Their first use of Eclipse was developing the Maestro stuff, the Mars rovers, basically developing software to help monitor and plan what the rovers were doing from afar. So they're expanding on the usage of Eclipse and RCP within NASA. So once, you know, one team started to do it, you know, another team looked at their stuff like, oh, you know, I want to reuse these bits and pieces. So, you know, when you build on top of Eclipse, it's, you know, the discussions is sort of building a platform where other people could reuse bits and pieces is a natural discussion.
Now, Chris, you just mentioned the RCP book. You're working on a new edition of that book, aren't you?
Yep. You know, RCP book 2.0 is scheduled to come out right around the Galileo release. We're working on making it based on 3.5, so it will correspond directly with the EP that's included with Galileo. So you'll see new topics around data binding, commands, security, some information about how to use P2 in updating your RCP application. So it's a good refresher of the content that was in the first edition.
And over here at the platform UI team, we're working on making it a difficult job for Chris to cover all the new stuff in 3.5. Chris was joking on IRC about the number of changes that went into the data binding framework recently.
So we should expect some. I guess what should we expect from data binding in 3.5?
It's basically a lot of improvements and bug fixes scattered around the framework. It's just, I think, a good sign that the framework is being used and people are reporting bugs and we're fixing them. Specifically, it's mostly Matt Hall who is fixing it. He's the main committer on data binding these days. And then he's been working on something we call the Properties API. That's basically making it easier to set up more advanced setups. Things like if you have a table where you're not only displaying simple properties but derived properties. We have this snippet that shows the family tree of Donald Duck, I think, where you can see the mother's name and the mother's mother name and so on. And setting up things like that for a viewer pretty hairy if you don't have good support, and this new API helps you with that.
Cool. Now, I guess we better get back on track. I'm easily distracted. so back to EclipseCon. So you've mentioned their main stage talk, which, you know, Rails and how'd you say that? I'm sorry, it was Rails and
Eclipse on Rails and Rockets.
Rails and Rockets, awesome. So what else is in your program?
Okay, another highlight, I think, is we have a talk by Steve Northover and Scott of IBM and Scott Kovach of Adobe talking about the new SWT port to Coco, to the Mac Coco.
That should make the Mac framework. The Mac crowd pretty happy.
Yeah, and they'll talk about bits of history as well. For example, back when the first SWT port was done, Carbon was chosen, even though Coco was already there, and reasons for that, and why they still think that was the right decision at that time, so on. So that'll be interesting.
So are there many other long talks? Or I guess we wound up making a lot more short talks, I think, this time around.
I like short talks, yeah. We have another interesting long talk. I don't know, Chris, would you like to talk about that? The Max and John's excellent plugin adventure talk?
Sure. So basically, this talk's about two committers, I believe. One of them's from the Data Tools project. And, they basically detail their experience of developing on top of Eclipse and sort of, you know, the anti-patterns and other things they faced. So it should definitely be an interesting talk to listen to, especially, you know, getting an opinion from the experts of good and bad things.
Anti-patterns is an interesting concept. Here's what not to do. There was a book written, well, it must have been 12 years ago now, 15 years ago on anti-patterns. One of my favorite books ever. Actually, I look forward to that talk. So maybe you can you spend a few minutes talking about some of the short talks? Is there anything that jumps out at you as particularly interesting?
You know, for me, there's one talk in particular. I'm a big fan of case studies around RCP. You know, it's, you know, from working with people out in the field, it's always interesting to see, like, Eclipse being used, you know, whether it's to control rovers within NASA or, out in the oil fields. There's a talk given about Eclipse being used in nuclear power plants. So it should be interesting to see Eclipse RCP used in another area, too.
Yeah, so we've grouped the short talks into three long sessions and found session chairs to introduce the speakers and do things like that. So And we actually have one session that only has RCP case studies, a full hour. That should be really interesting. And the session chair is Patrick Paulin, who himself has a lot of experience with RCP, so that should be really interesting.
That's something that's interesting, I think, this year about EclipseCon. The notion of a short talk has been generalized. We have talks of arbitrary lengths, but we group them together into blocks of an hour. So that's kind of, it's interesting that you can go to listen for an hour of RCP talks, but it's actually going to be three different talks.
I think it's four or maybe five even.
Okay, so so you get a lot of different experiences, but all condensed, you know, all grouped together.
Yeah, it's something that we did, like some of the categories started doing last EclipseCon. Mm-hmm. For example, we had this last year at EclipseCon as well. There was a full hour, I think, talking about RCP case studies. Which is nice. If you go to any one of those, you will see, the next one is interesting as well. It's the same idea, basically. But it wasn't very well called out in the program, and I think that's much better this year.
Something I noticed, certainly in the emerging technology program, of course, anyone who's been listening to my podcasts know I tend to just go on and on about this, but something I've been finding more interesting is a lot of the talks kind of are spanning. It's RCP with identity management, RCP with other topics, sort of combining things rather than talking about these topics in silos, sort of crossing the silos and pulling technology together.
There's an earthquake damage simulation application, which sounds interesting. And I think that's also interesting because it's not only a simple application. If I'm not mistaken, this is a an actual platform. They're using RCP not only to build an application, but they build something into which others can plug in their extensions.
It's a similar story you see everywhere. You know, people eventually start out, they develop something cool on top of Eclipse, and then, you know, eventually other people want to start building on top of it, and all of a sudden you have a platform. You know, your original application now turns into a platform where other people start plugging in.
Yeah, that's really what's interesting in the RCP space. It's turning that application into a platform, which then you leverage across. Maestro being a great example of that.
Yeah, there are lots of examples. I think it's because Eclipse makes it really easy to do that, because the platform is extensible to begin with. And when you start your app, you can sort of make use of that, but not expose it to your clients or somebody who might be interested in extending your app. But over time, you can then just use the available mechanisms and open up the app to make it extensible. You don't have to invent that aspect of the application.
Right. Now, I guess RCP has a pretty obvious tie-in, I think, with some of the E4 work going on. Is there any E4 talks in the RCP track itself?
Not directly. We have a dedicated E4 track, which is all the E4 content. There's one talk which is in the UI category, and it's not directly about E4, but it's relevant, I think. A colleague of mine who's working on the Rational Team Concert product, which is an IBM offering for source control, bug tracking, planning, all that kind of stuff, after building something that was Eclipse-based, they found out that they wanted to offer the same idea, but for other environments, namely the Visual Studio IDE, and then also a web-based component. And they ended up having to write three different UIs for those three environments. And this will be a long talk about the experience they had and what they could offer. Like, lessons learned for E4. How could E4 make it easy to do those kinds of things without everybody having to write three different UIs, if you want to do stuff like that?
So, Chris, can you tell us a little bit about the other category?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a few talks there. You know, my two favorite ones coming from there is there's one talk by Richard Gronbach and Marcus Naur from EclipseSource, basically about delivering Galileo. You know, a lot of the community just sees us, you know, dump, you know, 20, 30 projects, you know, every June. But, you know, there's a lot that goes, behind the scenes to make that happen. So Rich and Marcus are going to talk about that. So it should be interesting to hear their perspective, since, you know, they're mainly the people that help make it happen. The other fun talk that I like is there's a talk about sort of programming for Lego Mindstorms. So using Eclipse to develop your little Lego Mindstorms and, you know, building them out. So it's always fun when you use Eclipse with, like, these little hobby-type things. You know, for example, I recently, in the mail, I got something called a Bug. You know, there's a company out there called Bugs Labs, which develops this cool little device where it's almost like Legos for adults, where you could, you know, basically plug in, like, a camera and, like, a GPS thing into this little, you know, unit, and then you could sort of develop, you know, basically create applications for that unit. And it's all like Eclipse-based. That little bug thing runs OSGI. It's cool stuff out there.
And I'm sorry, you have an Eclipse development environment for that as well?
Yeah, it's cool. All fully based on top of Eclipse. I highly recommend checking out if you go to buglabs.net.
And is there anything else that EclipseCon that you're looking forward to seeing? Any other talks maybe outside of your track?
Well, to me, obviously, the E4 category will be the most important one. I still have to check if I'm double booked on anything.
Right.
You know, for me, it's, you know, like Boris said, E4 is important, so, you know, I'll definitely have a presence there. You know, there's also just today, we've been trying to plan an OSGI tooling boss. There's actually, it's funny that, you know, there's basically people out there developing OSGI tooling that's not on top of Eclipse or, you know, their own way. So we're just basically trying to get all these people together so we could, you know, talk about the problems around tooling OSGI and how we could sort of work together to have one set of tooling versus, you know, little bits and pieces everywhere up to the ecosystem. It's not going to help OSGI if we're all sort of fracturing the tooling around it.
You've certainly done a lot of work recently in the PDE, Chris, around that. I've noticed your blog posting today, for example, adding start levels in the RCP launcher, for example, something I've been looking forward to for a while.
Yeah. There's been a, you know, just today I sent an email out to Eclipse Dev to sort of push declarative services in the SDK, and that looks like it's going to go through. So a lot of that start level work was due basically to the guys writing the Equinox OSGI book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wanted to improve the tooling to make it easier to develop, you know, Equinox OSGI-based applications. So a lot of their feedback turned into me improving the tooling.
Yeah, declarative services is really becoming first class now with certainly what's been available for some time, but now that some good first class tooling is available for it, and we're starting to see some more potential adoption of it in the platform itself.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, from out in the field, everyone that I've worked with is using DS. That's building on top of RCP pretty much. I would say 99%. It's just funny that the platform itself, we're not using it. There's reasons why we don't move quickly, because, you know, there are some quirks between, you know, declarative services and the extension registry. So,
sure.
But we'll get there.
Right. Now, I guess the question begs again, then, is for E4, is declarative services something that's considered important for E4 development?
Yes, of course. So I think services in general are really important.
There certainly is some effort to consolidate the various services models, is there?
Yes. So there's a very recent development where we talked about putting all the available things like the UI services, but also declarative services and other things that you need as an application developer into something that we call a context. Now, that's a very generic name, but basically just a hierarchy of, like, logically, it's just a hierarchy of maps where you can look up stuff. But as somebody who develops an individual component, you shouldn't be looking at that as this tree of maps. You should just be looking at it as, oh, I need the selection service, or I need something where I can log my errors. And then all those things ideally get injected into your Java object without you knowing anything about the context in which this component is run.
So is that something that's been built in sort of thinking forward to situations where you may have multiple users within a single workbench?
Yes, so basically getting rid of all the singletons so that you don't end up in a situation where there can only be one workspace or one user or one translated string for a certain string, things like that.
Sounds like.
But also thinking about programming Eclipse APIs from various languages as well.
Interesting. Are there any specific languages that are being considered as alternatives to Java?
So one that is being worked on right now is JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
Someone here in Ottawa, Simon Kagi, has started looking at getting JavaScript-based bundles running in OSGI. So think about different JavaScript libraries that are put into their own bundles and then express dependencies on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So making that work.
I actually had a student do something similar or something along those lines, maybe not similar, with Groovy a couple of years ago. That was some interesting work. It's amazing how much is actually already in the Eclipse platform to support it.
It turns out there's not much missing. The one big problem is for languages like JavaScript, which are not like Java with its class-based model, the API needs to be in a shape where you don't have to implement a subclass, a framework class, do things like that to get anything done. So that's something that we're looking at as well, changing the API so that you don't have to do things like that, like subclass editor part to get something up in Eclipse.
We should probably get back to EclipseCon again. Is there anything else that we need to know about the RCP UI track?
One thing that comes to mind is people can go to whatever tutorials they like on Monday, especially the UI and RCP ones. Then Tuesday is do whatever you like, and then because it doesn't have any UI RCP content.
Oh, okay.
But Wednesday and Thursday, that's when you should be paying attention to the program and go to all those interesting
UI talks. Okay, so it's RCP tutorials on Monday, figure everything else out on the Tuesday, and then it's RCP for the rest of the week.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm also excited about the main stage talks, but you probably talked about that in previous podcasts.
We've talked quite a lot about that actually. Chris, any highlights for you?
No, I'm just excited to Eclipse kind of finally get here, so we could all get together and chat. I'm definitely looking forward to the main stage talk from the NASA folks and the Swiss Railway folks.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much for chatting with me today, and we'll talk to you later. And of course, we'll see you at EclipseCon.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care, Wayne.